Welcome to Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Numbers 1 through 3. The first census of Israel. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Take a census of the whole congregation of Israelites in their clans by ancestral houses, according to the number of names every male individually from 20 years old and up, everyone in Israel able to go to war. You and Aaron shall enroll them company by company. A man from each tribe shall be with you, each man the head of his ancestral home. These are the names of the men who shall assist you: from Reuben, Elizur, son of Shedeur; from Simeon, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai; from Judah, Nashon, son of Amminadab; from Issachar, Nethanel, son of Zuar; from Zebulun, Eliab, son of Helon; from the sons of Joseph; from Ephraim, Elishama, son of Ammihud; from Manasseh, Gamaliel, son of Padazur; from Benjamin, Abidan, son of Gideoni; from Dan, Ahizer, son of Amishaddai; from Asher, Pagiel, son of Okron; from Gad, Aliapsa, son of Dul; from Naphtali, Ahira, son of Enon. These were the ones chosen from the congregation, the leaders of their ancestral tribes, the head of the divisions of Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men who had been designated by name, and on the first day of the second month, they assembled the whole congregation together. They registered themselves and their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, and individually, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So he enrolled them in the wilderness of Sinai. The descendants of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their lineage in their clans, by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names, individually every male from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled in the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. The descendants of Simeon, their lineage and their clans, by their ancestral houses, those of them who were numbered according to the number of names, individually every male from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled in the tribe of Simeon were 59,300. The descendants of Gad, their lineage and their clans, by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribe of Gad were 45,650. The descendants of Judah, their lineage and their clans, by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribes of Judah were 74,600. The descendants of Issachar, their lineage and their clans, by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribe of Issachar were 54,400. The descendants of Zebulun, their lineage, in the clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribe of Zebulun were 57,400. The descendants of Joseph, the descendants of Ephraim, their lineage in their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribe of Ephraim were 40,500. The descendants of Manasseh, their lineage in their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribe of Manasseh were 32,200. The descendants of Benjamin, their lineage in their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribe of Benjamin were 35,400. The descendants of Dan, their lineage in their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribe of Dan were 62,700. The descendants of Asher, their lineage, and their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled in the tribe of Asher were 41,500. The descendants of Naphtali, their lineage, in their clans by their ancestral houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war, those enrolled of the tribe of Naphtali were 53,400. These are those who were enrolled, whom Moses and Aaron enrolled with the help of the leaders of Israel, 12 men, each representing his ancestral house. So all those enrolled of the Israelites by their ancestral houses from 20 years old and up, everyone able to go to war in Israel, all those enrolled were 603,550. The Levites, however, were not numbered by their ancestral tribe along with them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Only the tribe of Levi you shall not enroll. And you shall not take a census of them with the other Israelites. Rather, you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the covenant and over all its equipment and over all that belongs to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its equipment, and they shall tend it and shall camp around the tabernacle. When the tabernacle is to set out, the Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And any outsider who comes near shall be put to death. The other Israelites shall camp in their respective regimental camps by companies, but the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the covenant, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the Israelites, and the Levites shall perform the duties of the tabernacle of the covenant." The Israelites did so. They did just as the Lord commanded Moses. The order of encampment and marching. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "The Israelites shall camp each in their respective regiments under signs by their ancestral houses. They shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. Those to camp on the east side towards the sunrise shall be of the regimental encampment of Judah by companies. The leader of the people of Judah shall be Nashon, son of Amminadab, with a company is enrolled of 74,600. Those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar. The leader of the Issacharites shall be Nethanel, son of Zuar, with a company is enrolled of 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun. The leader of the Zebulunites shall be Eliab, son of Helon, with a company is enrolled of 57,400. The total enrollment of the camp of Judah by companies is 186,400. They shall set out first. On the south side shall be the regimental encampment of Reuben by companies. The leader of the Reubenites shall be Eleazar, son of Shedeur, with a company is enrolled of 46,500, and those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Simeon. The leader of the Simeonites shall be Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai, with a company is enrolled of 59,300. Then the tribe of Gad, the leader of the Gadites shall be Eliasaph, son of Duel, with a company as enrolled of 45,650. The total enrollment of the camp of Reuben by company is 151,450. They shall set out second. The tent of meeting with the camp of Levites shall set out in the center of the camps. They shall set out just as they camp, each in position by their regiments. On the west side shall be the regimental encampment of Ephraim by companies. The leader of the Ephraim shall be Elishama, son of Ammihud, with a company as enrolled of 40,500. Next to him shall be the tribe of Manasseh. The leader of the people of Manasseh shall be Gamil, son of Pedazur, with a company as enrolled of 32,200. Then the tribe of Benjamin, the leader of Benjaminites shall be Abidan, son of Gideoni, with a company as enrolled of 35,400. The total enrollment of the camp of Ephraim by companies is 180,100. They shall set out third. On the north side shall be the regimental encampment of Dan by companies. The leader of the Danites shall be Ahizer, son of Amishaddai, with a company as enrolled of 62,700. Those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Asher. The son of Asherite shall be Pagiel, son of Okron, with a company as enrolled of 41,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali, the leader of the Naphtalites shall be Ahira, son of Enan, with a company is enrolled of 53,400. The total enrollment of the camp of Dan is 157,600. They shall set out last by their regiments. This was the enrollment of the Israelites by their ancestral houses. The total enrollment in the camps by their companies was 603,550. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, the Levites were not enrolled among the other Israelites. The Israelites did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. They camped by regiments, and they set out the same way, everyone by clans, according to their ancestral houses. The sons of Aaron. This is the lineage of Aaron and Moses at the time when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These are the names of the son of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn of Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests whom he ordained to serve as priests. Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered on holy fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of their father, Aaron. The duties of the Levites. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest so that they may assist him. They shall perform duties for him and for the whole congregation in front of the tent of meeting, doing service at the tabernacle. They shall be in charge of all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and attend to the duties for the Israelites as they do service at the tabernacle. You shall give the Levites to Aaron and his descendants. They are unreservedly given to him from among the Israelites. But you shall enroll Aaron and his descendants. It is they who shall attend to the priesthood, and any outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I hereby take the Levites from among the Israelites as substitutes for all the firstborn that open the womb among the Israelites. The Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. When I killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn in Israel, both human and animal. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." A census of the Levites. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, "Enroll the Levites by ancestral houses and by clans. You shall enroll every male from a month old and up." So Moses enrolled them according to the word of God, as he was commanded. These were the sons of Levi by their names: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These were the names of the son of Gershon by their clans: Libni and Shimei. The son of Kohath by their clans: Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The sons of Merari by their clans: Mahli, Mushi. These were the clans of the Levites by their ancestral houses. The Gershon belonged to the clan of Libnites and the clan of the Shimites. These were the clans of Gershonites. Their enrollment counted all the males from a month old and up, with 7,500. The clans of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle on the west, with Eliasaph the son of Lael as head of the ancestral house of the Gershonites. The responsibility of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting was the tabernacle, the tent with its covering, the screen for the entrance of the tent of meeting, the hangings of the court, the screen for the entrance of the court that is around the tabernacle, and the altar and its cords, all the service pertaining to these. To Kohath belonged the clan of Amorites, the clan of the Izharites, the clan of the Hebronites, and the clan of the Izalites. These were the clans of the Kohathites. Counting all the males from a month and old and up, there were 8,600 performing the duties of the sanctuary. The clans of the Kohathites were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle, with Elizaphan, son of Uzziel, as head of the ancestral house of the clans of the Kohathites. Their responsibility was the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary with which the priests ministers, and the screen, all the service pertaining to these. Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, was to be chief over the leaders of the Levites and to have oversight of those who perform the duties of the sanctuary. To Merari belonged the clan of the Mahlites and the clan of the Mushites. These were the clans of the Merari. Their enrollment, counting all the males from a month old and up, was 6,200. The heads of the ancestral house of the clans of the Merari was Zeriel, son of Abihil. They were to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. The responsibility assigned to the sons of Merari was the frames of the tabernacle, the bars, the pillars, the bases, and all their accessories, all of the services pertaining to these, also the pillars of the court all around, with their bases and pegs and cords. Those who were to camp in front of the tabernacle on the east in front of the tent of meeting towards the sunrise were Moses and Aaron's sons, who were to perform the duties of the sanctuary. Whatever had to be done for the Israelites and any outsider who came near was put to death. The total enrollment of the Levites whom Moses and Aaron enrolled at the commandment of the Lord by their clans, all the males from a month old and up, was 22,000. The redemption of the firstborn. Then the Lord said to Moses, enroll all the firstborn males of the Israelites from a month old and up and count their names. But you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, as substitutes for all the firstborn among the Israelites and the livestock of the Levites, as substitutes for the firstborn among the livestock of the Israelites. So Moses enrolled all the firstborns among the Israelites, as the Lord commanded him. The total enrollment for all the firstborn males from a month old and up, counting the number of names, was 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites as substitute for the firstborn among the Israelites and the livestock of the Levites, as substitute for their livestock, and the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord, as the price of redemption for the 273 of the firstborn of Israelites over and above the number of the Levites. And you shall take 5 shekels apiece, reckoning by the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel of 20 gerahs, give to Aaron and his sons the money by which the excess number of them is redeemed. So Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above those redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the Israelites, he took the money, 1,365 shekels, reckoned by the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? In Numbers, we see the Israelites move from Mount Sinai and continue their journey towards the Promised Land. Can they move forward while keeping God at the center of their lives? Do you find that when you have a break in your routine, it is easier to focus on God? Do you find that the hustle of daily life can lead to going on autopilot and becoming distracted and distant from God in the life that you seek to live? Now let's move to Romans 1-3. Salutation. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture, the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer of Thanksgiving. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing, I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will, I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you that so that I may be shared with you some spiritual gifts so that you may be strengthened, or rather that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. The power of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is God's saving power for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. The guilt of humankind. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and injustice of those who by their injustice suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been seen and understood through the things God has made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the desire of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to dishonorable passions. Their females exchanged natural intercourse for unnatural. And in the same way, also the males, giving up natural intercourse with females, were consumed with their passionate desires for one another. Males committed shameless acts with males and received in their own persons the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to an unfit mind and to do things that should not be done. They were filled with every kind of injustice, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, craftiness. They were gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, rebellious towards parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. They know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, yet they not only do them because they applaud others who practice them. The righteous judgment of God. Therefore, you are without excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others, for in passing judgment on one another, you condemn yourself. Because you, the judge, are doing the same, very same thing. We know that God's judgment on those who do such things is in accordance with truth. Do you imagine, whoever you are, that when you judge those who do such things and yet do them yourselves, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But by your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will repay according to each one's deeds. To those who by patiently doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. While for those who are self-seeking and who obey not the truth but injustice, there will be wrath and fury. There will be affliction and distress for everyone who does evil, both the Jew first and the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, both the Jew first and the Greek, for God shows no partiality. All who have sinned apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged in accordance with the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous in God's sight, but the doers of the law who will be justified. When Gentiles who do not possess the law by nature do what the law requires, these, though not having the law, are a law to themselves. They show that what the law requires is written on their hearts, as their own conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts will accuse or perhaps excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God through Christ Jesus judges the secret thoughts of all, the Jews and the law. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast of your relation to God and know his will and determine what really matters because you are instructed in the law, and if you are sure that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others will not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who forbid adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by your transgressions of the law? For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised keep the requirements of the law, will not their uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then the physically uncircumcised person who keeps the law will judge you who, though having the written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law. For a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision something external and physical. Rather, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. The circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not the written code. Such a person receives praise not from humans, but from God. Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way, for in the first place, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Although every human is a liar, let God be proved true, as is written, so that you may be justified in your words and your prevail when you go to trial. But if our injustice serves to confirm the justice of God, what shall we say? That God is unjust to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means, for then how could God judge the world? But if through my falsehood God's truthfulness abounds to his glory, why am I still being judged as a sinner? And why not say, as some people slander us by saying that we say, let us do evil so that good may come, their judgment is deserved. None is righteous. What then? Are we better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless, and there is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one. Their throats are open graves. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of vipers is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their paths, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth shall be silenced, and the whole world may be accountable to God. For no human will be justified before him by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Righteousness through faith. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because of his divine forbearance. He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to demonstrate at the present time his own righteousness, so that he is righteous and he justifies the one who has faith of Jesus. Then what comes of boasting? It is excluded. Through what kind of law? That of works? No, rather through the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, and he will justify the circumcision on the ground of faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then overthrow the law through this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? As we move into reading the letters of Paul, it is critical to remember that these are specific letters written to specific groups of people responding to specific events. There is harm that comes with the attempt to view Scripture through a lens that ignores its context and history, as well as the intent of the author. We are challenged to find the wisdom within Paul's words, to look for a message regarding the nature of God, which is unchanging. What do you hear in these first three books that increase our knowledge of God's character? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us to the test, but deliver us from the evil one.